to appreciate that good, humble prayer. I ask that we continue to pray as I stand before you. Back many years ago now, I believe that Hollywood really tried to attack the notion of the biblical view of fatherhood. We went from shows like the Andy Griffith Show, where Andy was respected as a great father and honored. We went from shows like Leave It to Beaver, where the father was very respected, very honored, and was portrayed as showing a great deal of wisdom, Ward Cleaver was. And Hollywood began to put out a lot of shows where the fathers were basically conveyed as if they were ignorant, foolish. They kind of portrayed them as buffoons. And Hollywood, I believe, attacked the idea of what true biblical fatherhood should be. Even research by man shows that children with an engaged and a present father are less likely to drop out of school. Shows that children with an engaged and a present father are less likely to go to jail. Shows that children with a present and engaged father are less likely to commit gross immorality. It shows that children with an engaged and a present father are more likely to have a higher IQ, even beginning as early as age 3. That they're more likely to, when they grow up, to have healthy, functional relationships. That they're more likely to have high-paying jobs. And they're more likely to have fewer psychological problems. What a blessing. Even by man's research, is it to have good, godly fathers. And the Lord being our helper, I want to look at some of what the Bible teaches us about good fathers. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we come to a context of a very wicked generation. It's right before the flood. And the Lord has said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. But in the midst of that corrupt, horrible, violent society, we see a man named Noah. Noah's a strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah's name literally means rest and comfort. And I'm going to tell you, Noah's not only going to be portrayed as a good man, he's portrayed as a good father. In the midst of this scene, we see in verse 8 of Genesis 6, But Noah. It's a difficult, violent world, but Noah. But a godly father. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, the family of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations And Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man. He lived a good life. Now, how was he able to do that? Only by the blood and the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us are just and holy and righteous, is by the grace of God and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, Noah lived a good and godly life. He wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. But I'll tell you, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, he lived a good life. Said he was a just man, and he was perfect in his generation. That word perfect literally has the connotation of integrity, truth, without blemish, without spot. Noah was a man of integrity. May God bless us to be men and fathers of integrity, that we not only tell the truth with our lips, but we live the truth with our lives. We look in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, and we'll go back to Genesis 6. But Proverbs 20 and verse 7, we have a very precious song verse in Proverbs. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." The just man walketh in his integrity. Not only speaks integrity with his mouth, but he walks in integrity. His feet walk in integrity and honesty. His children are blessed after him. Why? Because the children are watching what daddy does. And the children are saying, "My father is a man of integrity. And my father not only tells the truth and tells things that are honest and just and right, but he lives it. He walks in it with his feet." You know, it's often been said that a lot of times more of what we do and our children see, more is caught than taught. What does that mean? More is caught than taught. It means, yes, children listen to what our children do, listen to what we say. But probably even a more powerful teacher is what we do. You see, I can tell my children they need to be honest. But if they see daddy not being honest, even though he said with his lips to be honest, then what I do can convey a far greater lesson than what I've just said with my lips, to the good or to the bad. Notice that it says of Noah, he was a just man, he was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He stayed close to God. He listened to God's words. In Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to summarize this for the sake of time, but the Lord will give Noah some very specific instructions about what he wants him to do. And he's telling him to build an ark. And he's going to destroy the world with the flood. Now, it doesn't appear at this time that Noah's ever even seen rain. So from a human standpoint, what God is telling him to do in building this big boat, this big ark, would not make any sense to his human reasoning. Proverbs tells us twice in the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But what does Noah do? He listens to God. He hears God's words. He hears God's instructions. And not only does he just hear them, but he does them. The Lord gives him some very specific instructions. He tells him how long this ark's to be. He tells him how wide it's to be. He tells him what kind of wood it's to be made out of. He tells how many stories there are in the ark. He tells him how to build a window. He tells him how to build a door. And what does Noah do? In verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Notice it didn't say according to some that God commanded. It said according to all that God commanded. Of everything God told him to do, he was faithful in doing it. He didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I think I got a better idea than the Lord. I think I can improve on this ark in a better way than what the Lord told me to do. No, Noah did it God's way. What a blessing there are with fathers that hear God's words. How do we hear God's words? In this book. We as fathers should be in this book every single day. And by the way, don't tune out, mamas and sisters, because everything I'm saying about what the Bible says about fathers is good for us all. The characteristics of a good father are the characteristics of a good mother. The characteristics of a good father and of a good mother are characteristics of any faithful follower of the Lord Jesus. Noah walked with God. He enjoyed fellowship with the Lord in hearing God's word, in listening to the Lord. How do we do that? Being in God's word, the Bible, praying and seeking his face, walking in sweet fellowship with him every day. Noah walked with God. I pray the Lord would bless us all to walk with him. I love what it says in Psalms chapter 119 and 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, God's word is more than just a lamp and just a light. It's more than just an intellectual understanding of what to do, but it's a guidebook for my feet and my path. And it's a guidebook for your feet and for your path. The Lord directs us. The Lord guides us. And he does it in his word. And I'll tell you, good fathers are fathers that listen to God's word, that reads God's word, that knows God's word. And it said, I'm not just going to know it, but I'm going to live by it. I'm going to walk in it. And God's word will direct my steps every single day. We as old Baptists do not have a Sunday school system. We don't have that because the pattern the Lord gave us in the New Testament does not mention it. But don't mistake by that we don't believe that God's children should be taught the word of God. Somebody may think, yeah, you know, that's mainly for the preacher to do on Sunday morning. No, It's not. It's important for children to be in church, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. And it's important for them to listen to the truth as proclaimed by a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to tell you the main responsibility for teaching children the word of God is upon mama and daddy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord would say, the words which I command thee this day, my words, the words of this book, the Bible, the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He's describing a normal day. We get up, we walk along the way, we lie down, we sit in our house. And he describes all of those things, saying, on that normal day, mamas and daddies and fathers, teach your children the word of God. You may say, Brother Mark, I don't know that I know it that way. Well, you know, the reality is we got to get to where we do know it that well. We've all had jobs where maybe they're giving us a new task at our work, and we don't know how to do that new task. So what does our employer do? They train us in how to do the new task, and we learn how to do it. How much more important it is for us to do the task that God gave us. All of us that have the ability to read can read the Word of God to our children every single day. And as we learn some of the main stories in the Bible, you can have sweet times as a family telling some of the stories we've all enjoyed, like David and Goliath, or Daniel and the lion's den, or Joshua and the battle of Jericho, or Noah and the ark. And you could go on and on and on. Children enjoy those exciting stories from the Word of God. And God's given the responsibilities to fathers as the head of the house and to mothers to teach our children the Word of God. And to show our children that mama and daddy not only know the Word of God, but we take it seriously in our life. And we try to do what God's Word says. What a blessing it is. You know what Noah's conduct did? We look in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible will tell us. He's mentioned in that great chapter of faith. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What not seen as yet? A worldwide flood, and likely even never having seen it rain. What did he do? He moved with fear, prepared an ark, listen, to the saving of his house. Now, does that mean the structure he lived in? No, I'm sure that was washed away. Means the saving of his family. By Noah being faithful to God's word and doing what God's word said, his family was saved. And fathers, your godly conduct can save your family, not eternally, not for heaven. You know that's not what we're talking about. But can save us in timely ways here. Noah's godly conduct saved his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He trusted God no matter what. Can you imagine a more tumultuous thing than a worldwide flood. What Noah experienced. In the midst of that devastation, he trusted God. And his family was saved. How many of us that were blessed with godly fathers, and I thank God for the godly father I've been blessed with, and for the godly fathers in Israel I've been blessed with. How many things have I been saved from? By watching the way they walked. Watching the honor that they had for God's word. How much have I been saved from? How much have you been saved from? You know, godly fathers, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, godly fathers should bring their children to the house of God. Hebrews 10, 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, gathering together to worship in the house of God. You know, a child should never come up to daddy and say, hey, are we going to church today? You know why they should never ask that? Because they know we're going to church today. It's not an if. It's not if we feel like it. I know for sickness and things like that, that's not forsaking the assembly when you can't be in the house of God for sickness. But a child shouldn't get up and ask daddy, hey, are we going to church today? Because a lot of times you do, but maybe a lot of times you don't. What a blessing. Our children being in the house of God and seeing their father's worship before the God of heaven and earth. And I'll tell you, children get a lot more out of the service here than we may think. I've been amazed at things that children pick up in sermons, that children just get from interacting with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And it thrills my soul when I see a child come in the house of God with a big smile on their face and they're rejoicing to be in the house of God. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. May we as fathers and mamas make sure our children are in the house of the Lord. We as fathers need to discipline our children. We need to do it in love. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6. Says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. You know, one of the ways we know God the Father loves us is because he chastens us. Has the Lord ever given you a whip? I've been given several in my life. And we as fathers are to discipline or chasten our children, but we're to do it in love, just like our Heavenly Father disciplines us in love. Part of being a father of integrity is if we tell our children, if you do this, you're going to get a spanking. And then they do that, and we don't give them a spanking. You know what that's taught them? There's not a consequence for my action. Yeah, daddy said if I disobeyed, I was going to get a spanking, but it never happens. It never happens. And what can that instill in a child? Selfishness. I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody can tell me otherwise. Now let's fast forward that about 20 years. And that child's on the side of the road and a police officer comes up and gives lawful orders. And he says, I don't want to do what the officer says. And if I don't, nothing's going to happen. Because when mom and daddy told me no, I never did what they said and nothing ever happened. And that child can be put in a bad spot, because I guarantee you, if you don't obey the lawful orders of a police officer on the street, something is going to happen. We have boundaries in this life. And mom and daddy, what a better place for boundaries to be set than with a mother and father that love that child. We as fathers should lovingly discipline our children, not in anger. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means teaching them to do the right things, but it also means correcting and disciplining them when they do the wrong things. May we be fathers that lovingly discipline our children. May we be fathers that are not selfish. I've told a lot of folks that there's a couple of life events that really highlight our selfishness. One's when we get married, because you realize it ain't all about you anymore. But you've got a wife or you've got a husband that you've got to constantly think about what you're doing and how it affects them. And the other's when we have children. That you're responsible before God for their life and to support them and to teach them and to love them. Philippians chapter 3, or in the book of Philippians, as the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he would write, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It means put your family before yourself. If daddy comes home and I'm like, I'm tired. I've been working all day. I've been dealing with criminals at the probation office all day. And I'm spent. I don't have time to spend with my children. I better change that selfish attitude. And I better spend time with my family. Spend time with my children. As I tried to begin this message, so no matter what kind of father we may have had, and praise God if you were blessed with a good father. Many of us were. But if you weren't blessed with a good father, look a little higher to our heavenly Father, who's the perfect example. He's the Father that showed us unconditional love. He's the Father that loves us even when we're unlovable. He keeps loving us. He's the Father that told Jeremiah, behold, the Lord has said of old unto me, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He's the Father that leads us and guides us. Proverbs 3 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct thy path. He leads us. He guides us. And he also provides for us. That's why we pray like our Lord told us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we realize that you're the one that provides for us. You're the one that sustains us every single day. He's the Lord that loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and bleed and die for us on Calvary's tree. He's the Lord that protects us. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's a present help in trouble. He's the Lord that one sweet day, he's going to give the command and say, King Jesus, come and get all my children that I've loved before time ever began. Go and get them. And you bring them to me, bring them to my Father's house. Because the same love I had with them before time ever began is not weighing one iota. Go and get them and bring them to me. And our elder brother, Lord Jesus, will be in heaven. And said, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Yes, the world may mock at God the Father's, but God rejoices in godly fathers who try to follow the example of our ultimate Heavenly Father. What a blessing that is. God bless you, is my prayer.